You're listening to Eureka on Monocle 24. This week, we tell the story of Matt Powell, who realized while doing a master's degree in international development that refugees had precious little resources helping them integrate into society once they'd been granted asylum status. He decided to launch Breaking Barriers, which works with corporate partners from Thomson Reuters to IKEA to help those refugees find meaningful employment. This week, Matt shares his story.
It already started for me at school and university, where I really went through school and university doing pretty well academically, but I left school and I left university with zero interests, zero passions, zero hobbies, and generally didn't really care about anything in the world beyond what I should care about, my friends and family and things like that. And I saw a lot of my friends going down the grad scheme path and joining companies that were very big companies, they paid lots of money. But I just realized that I can't fall into that trap, and I can't fall into that route of doing something that I don't care about or I'm not passionate about. I spent a long time being fascinated, I guess, as part of my own kind of experiences of moving around different countries, but became fascinated by the topic of migration. And after a year of traveling in various places and spent a prolonged period in Australia, I decided to come back and try and hone that passion of migration within a professional career. So I applied to do a master's in international development at LSE. Luckily, I got accepted. I then went off and did some more traveling with some voluntary work in Central and Latin America. And then I just loved academia for the first time in my life. I was actually studying a subject matter that I genuinely, passionately cared about. And I realized that no matter how seemingly boring a task may be, providing you're passionate about the content, it becomes a real pleasure. And I found myself wanting to learn more and more about it. And then that's the studies at university really formed the basis of what Breaking Barriers is now as a charity. I did a piece of desk-based research into why refugees aren't integrating in developed countries, not UK specifically, not London specifically, but more broadly, why aren't refugees integrating? And it seemed to kind of a very basic and simple perspective center around unemployment or a lack of employment, consistent regardless of the host country within which refugees were ending up. There seemed to be a lack of specific support for refugees from organizations, whether it be governments, NGOs, businesses, to really help these refugees integrate. And as a result, the narrative in the press and to an extent in some forms of academia is that unemployment levels or high unemployment levels among refugees is a consequence of a lack of appetite to work. What became clear to me was on paper that the lack of integration or lack of employment seemed to be more to do with the specific structural barriers preventing refugees from getting employment. And there was zero evidence to suggest that these refugees didn't want to work. So there seemed to be a massive space for an entity, I didn't know what at that stage, to work collaboratively with other organizations and stakeholders to get these refugees working. The official number of refugees that are in the UK, so refugee status by definition in the UK is someone who has been granted refugee status, so that gives them the legal right to work, slightly different from asylum seekers who can't work. And that figure's calculated at about 120,000. Now that number's been accumulating in steady stream since the Second World War, really, and whilst there has been an increase in refugee applications with what's been going on in the Middle East at the moment, it's still a relatively small figure. And to put that into context, the US grants annually about 100,000 people refugee status. So we actually let a very small proportion of people in. So in terms of net migration, we're looking at a contribution of 8,000 to 10,000 people per year being granted refugee status. So in the grand scheme of things, all migrants coming into the UK, refugees make up a tiny proportion. And I think that's been lost in the rhetoric at the moment. One of the key factors of my research was identifying why existing organisations weren't doing this at the moment. And speaking to businesses and speaking to other agencies, one of the major barriers, or the major barrier, was the fact that businesses want to be as impartial, diplomatic, and apolitical as possible. And the majority of organisations in the space are involved in lobbying, activism, and political campaigning. Service delivery isn't actually their primary focus. So immediately, by making ourselves apolitical and impartial and putting forward a positive narrative for integration and employing refugees, we found ourselves isolated in the sector in a good way, because we didn't really have any competition that was able to work with these big businesses. And for that reason, also, the government weren't ever really going to be able to do a similar initiative, because big business didn't necessarily want to be aligning with a political party. I put together a business plan, a very embryonic business plan, and got advice from various other people. I sent it around to pretty much every law firm in London. One law firm picked it up and said, "We like it. We're prepared to take it on pro bono and provide you with the legal support to constitute the entity in whatever legal form we think would be best based on the business model." We connected with a lot of refugee charities to start with, to discuss the concept with them, to see whether, based on their experience of working with refugees, whether there was a demand for this sort of thing. I think a key to the success for, well, continually actually, and even now, is learning from doing and learning by your experiences and being prepared to continually adapt the theory, because the theory doesn't work in practice. And a lot of organisations get hung up on the theory. Our business model now is adapted on an almost monthly basis, because you're continually responding to an ever-growing need, and we're becoming more and more knowledgeable about the issues at play, so we adapt accordingly. It's important to listen to the refugees and respond to what their needs are, but not be too proud of your concept to be prepared to tear it up and rewrite it. One of the main focuses we've had in terms of engaging businesses is taking philanthropy out of the ask. Because philanthropy, you're reliant on a small group of people, and it's not sustainable. You lose that person and the project ends. We've been focusing about developing a business case for each of our corporate partners to get involved. Now, that business case is tailored to the business. It's not a one-size-fits-all approach. We work in dialogue with those businesses to come up with a sustainable solution that first and foremost works for the refugees, but also adds value to the business. And each of the business partners we work with reports a number of positives, from the basic fact of saving money on recruitment, and retention rates are much higher for refugees, from increasing the diversity and inclusion within their businesses, getting different languages, different opinions, different cultures within the organization. People are heavily educated, and people most importantly want to work and utilize their skills. And if we're looking more broadly at the societal benefits of getting refugees integrated, it makes sense to utilize people's skills. But if you've got a CEO sponsor, that's really useful. From my experience in working with a business, you can have the best business case in the world. You can have the best case studies to throw at them. You can have the best offering. But what you really need is that one person within the organization, doesn't matter what level they are, who's prepared to drive the whole thing internally and go above and beyond their job role to make this thing work. And for every corporate partner we have, I can trace back to that one individual who's really overcome those internal barriers to make this thing work. And someone told me a few weeks ago that there's a term for it called intrapreneur. These people within businesses that are innovating within the business. And from IKEA to Thomson Reuters to Bank of America, there's been a one person who's still integrally involved, but has managed to shape the program that we have with them now. The demand will always be there. The demand's been there for 60 years. There's Syria and the Middle East conflict has been pertinent in the press the last few years, but refugees have been coming to the UK and to other developed countries in steady quantities since the Second World War. And I don't see that necessarily changing over the next 50, 60 years. We're looking to develop our model and refine it and improve it so it can be packaged up and dropped in other towns, cities, not just in the UK, but globally as well. There's no reason why it can't be applied in US cities and German cities and French cities, because essentially the issue is the same. Yes, there's a few things that would need to be adjusted in terms of welfare systems and the political climates, but there's no reason why our model can't be scaled and replicated elsewhere, because we've been able to develop models and funding models with our corporate partners that enables us to grow what we're doing. All of our corporate partners are multinational, so why not grow with those corporate partners? I know there's appetite to within a couple of cities in the UK, and I have appetite to replicate what we're doing elsewhere wherever there is need. I think the immediate, rather than kind of putting a figure on where we'll be or how many people we'll be supporting in 5 years, I think right now it's about continually refining and improving what we're delivering at the moment, continuing to develop the business case, expand the number of businesses we're working with, and then continue to look to grow that in a responsible and sustainable way.
Thanks to Matt Powell, CEO of London-based refugee charity Breaking Barriers. Derek is back again next Friday, but before then, tune into The Entrepreneurs on Wednesday. This show is edited by Kieran Banerjee. I'm Daniel Giacopelli. Thanks for listening.